So last week, we began a discussion, a conversation about time and time management and how to make the best use of your time. And our focus last week was talking about scheduling your time or your time on, meaning how to schedule your time when you're on the clock, how to schedule your calendar and your events. And this week, we're going to shift and we're going to talk about how to spend your time off. How many of you this morning would say that you need rest? Not everyone will raise their hand, but I bet you're thinking it on the inside. Now, don't raise your hand to this question. And by the way, I know many of you need rest because that's why you attend church, because Sunday mornings is the best sleep you get all week. But now, while many of us acknowledge that we need rest, don't raise your hands, but how many of you prioritize rest? How many of you schedule rest? And how many of you actually find rest? Our society today values time off and values vacation time and weekends, but we don't value true rest. We desire rest, we crave rest, we constantly talk about how we need rest, but we don't actually make an effort to prioritize it. Because for many of us, we think as long as we can be working, we should. As long as there is something to be done, we should be doing it. Newsflash, there's always something to be done. Weekends and Saturdays, to many of us, aren't days off. They aren't days of rest. It's time to catch up on what you think needs to be done. It's time for you to work on those chores, work on those projects, maybe put in overtime. This church, I'm very proud of the fact that this church is full of incredibly hardworking people, people who are dedicated to their work, people who are dedicated to getting things done and providing for their family. And working hard is good. It's biblical. It's scriptural. It's a commandment for followers of Jesus. It's a commandment for those of us who consider ourselves Christians. But there comes a point when working hard can be damaging and can be harmful, not just for you personally, but for your family as well, for your church. We talked about last week, this woman, Bronnie Ware, spent many years working in end-of-life care, people who are at the ends of their lives, many of them lonely, many of them not having family to support them. And she'd often hear them express their regrets at the end of their life. And what was one of their top regrets? I wish I hadn't worked so hard. I wish I hadn't worked so hard. People who look back in their life and say, I just focused all this time on work and I missed out. It's a common story of dads working hard, putting in overtime, and looking throughout their past and realizing they missed out on their child's life. They miss these crucial, important events, and it can be the same for women as well, but it's common with dads to look back and have regret that I missed my son or daughter's childhood. So taking time off is incredibly important. But we need to actually rest. We need to actually prioritize rest. And some of you may be thinking, well, that might be easy for you to say, but I just have too much going on. I don't have the luxury of rest, of taking time off. It's just not an option for me. But rest is not optional. Rest is not optional. Now, you may treat it as optional, just as you may decide to treat water or food or oxygen as optional, but let me know how that goes for you. Because rest is not optional. Rest is essential for your personal well-being. Rest is essential. It is as essential as those other tenets we just talked about, as water, as food, as oxygen. Your body needs rest. And there are incredible benefits to rest. Reduced stress and anxiety. An improvement in your mood. Decreased blood pressure. Chronic pain relief. Improved immune health. And stronger cardiovascular system. And the consequences of not getting rest are severe. I read a statistic this week that said 75% of all doctor visits are somehow related to stress. And stress often contributes to the leading causes of death. It's essential. If you want to be healthy, if you want to be strong, if you want to be happy, you need rest. Psalm 127, verse 2 says, "It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil. For he, as God, gives to his beloved sleep." What's the result of us rising up early and working late? It's anxious toil. In fact, many of you, the amount of time, the more time you spend working on something, the payoff decreases. Because the more time you spend focused on something, often the more exhausted, the more impatient, the more frustrated you will become. What's a quote from Abraham Lincoln? He said, I might be paraphrasing, but you give me 6 hours to chop down a tree, I will spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe. It's essential for your personal well-being. And rest is essential for your family's well-being. It's essential. If you want to lead your family well, if you want to raise your children well, you need to prioritize and schedule rest. Here's some benefits of spending time with your family. Consistent, scheduled family time. It improves mental health. It helps children perform well academically. It lowers risk of behavioral problems. It boosts self-confidence. It helps kids learn future parenting skills. It teaches effective conflict resolution because, as you know, you spend a lot of time with your family, there's going to be conflict. It reduces stress. It promotes adaptability and resilience. It enhances physical health, and it actually lengthens life expectancy. Having healthy relationships can actually increase your life expectancy up to 50%. Look at the youth of America today. If you're teachers, you get an up-close and personal look at how kids are today. The mental health crisis, the behavioral issues, the poor physical health, the obesity among children, the lack of life skills, and the poor academic performance. Those things start in the home. They start from a lack of structure in the home, a lack of love in the family, a lack of time spent with the family. And that lack of structure continues on to the next generation. It becomes a never-ending cycle, a never-ending chain, unless we decide to break that chain. Unless we decide to begin to lead our family well, to make a change and lead our family in a different way, to prioritize rest and to schedule time with your family. Rest is also essential for your spiritual well-being. God actually mandated a day of rest for the ancient Jewish people. The Sabbath, and observing the Sabbath, is actually the fourth commandment in the list of 10 commandments. We find this in Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, God handed this law to Moses after the Israelites had escaped slavery in Egypt. And so he did this for three reasons. The first reason is actually a reminder that God freed them from slavery, a weekly reminder of what they had been freed from, of what they had escaped from, because they were slaves. They had a never-ending work. They had weekly work. As long as they were awake, they were serving. They were working. They were in slavery. And this was a reminder, no, things are different now. I've freed you from that. I'm mandating an entire day of rest. The second reason is it separated them from the surrounding nations. Most of the laws that God gave to the ancient Jewish people were to signify that these are my people. These are my holy chosen people, and they are different from the rest of the world. The other nations didn't operate this way. But God mandated that the Jewish people do. And the third reason is to give them rest. It's to give them rest. Now, interestingly enough, the law of the Sabbath is the only law in the Ten Commandments that we don't find repeated in the New Testament. It's not a part of Jesus' teachings, and it's not a commandment given by the Apostle Paul. Now, the commandment to work remains. So we talked about the commandment to be a dedicated, hardworking person as a follower of Jesus and as a Christian remains, but not the commandment to observe the Sabbath. In fact, when it comes to when we rest, Paul wrote in both Romans 14 and Galatians 4 that there is no set day for followers of Jesus. We have the freedom to choose. One day is not more special than another. The Jewish people prioritized the Sabbath and considered it holy under the law of Moses. But when Jesus entered the picture, that changed. Paul said, if you want to treat all days alike, you can. You have the freedom to do so. And by the time Jesus entered, the religious leaders have taken all of the laws of Moses to the extreme. And they enforced the Sabbath so much that it became a burden to the people. And Jesus had to remind them. Interestingly enough, one of the accusations against Jesus was that he didn't observe the Sabbath, that he performed miracles, that his followers gathered wheat to eat on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the religious people, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. There was actually this idea among the religious people that men were created to observe the Sabbath rather than the Sabbath given to men. You know the idea, the concept of observing the Sabbath, the commandment to observe the Sabbath, did not exist until God handed the law to Moses. So while we are no longer under the commandment of the Sabbath, the principle of the Sabbath, the principle of rest is still incredibly important because rest is a form of worship. Rest is actually a form of worship because observing a day without work requires you to place your trust in God. This is also one of the reasons why God commanded the people to observe the Sabbath. Because in order to take a day off, as we said, there's a never-ending list of work to be done. Working overtime could provide us with more income. But to take a day off means you're trusting God to make ends meet. Even with a day off, it's believing that God will still provide. He will provide enough to meet our needs. We're worshiping God as our provider. It's saying, I acknowledge that God is the source of our income and the source of our blessings, not us. It requires you to place your trust in God. It's a form of worship. Rest is incredibly important. Maybe none of that is new information to you. But how to truly rest is different. You may know I need to rest, but many of us don't know how to properly find rest. Because we've all taken a day off or gone on a week-long vacation, but don't find rest. Because we come home more exhausted than ever. How many of you have ever said, I need a vacation from my vacation? You take a week off, you go on a trip, you take a day off, or even just you focus on having the weekend to yourself. But Monday morning is as difficult as ever. Sometimes Monday morning is even more difficult. We get what we like to call the Sunday scaries. That little anxiety that you get on Sunday night because you know what's waiting for you Monday morning. I get the Saturday scaries. We're still stressed and anxious, even after taking time off. Why is that? It's because we're not resting the right way. Because there is a right way to rest. Now, I'll go over this quickly. We talked about this last week. If you haven't listened to last week's message, I encourage you to do so. You can find it online. But this is important enough to repeat. Point number one, schedule your rest. You need to be proactive. You need to schedule your rest. Decide a time that works best for you or works best for your family, maybe even works best for your friends, and schedule that time off on your calendar. Literally, if you use a calendar on your phone, put it in as a weekly recurring event that this is a day of rest. So when people ask you if you're busy that day, or someone asks you to do something for them on that day, you pull out your calendar and you say, sorry, I have plans. I'm sorry, I have something scheduled. And I mentioned last week, healthy people will respect that. If anyone asks you, well, what do you have going on that day? They're an unhealthy person and you need to stop doing things for them, period. Because they don't respect your boundaries. So schedule your rest. Second is clear the noise. Clear the noise. We are surrounded by nonstop noise. TVs, phones, radio, music, social media, the news, on and on and on it goes. It's a never-ending barrage of noise, of static. And we never make time for quiet. In fact, most of us, especially younger people, but most of us are uncomfortable with silence, are uncomfortable with quiet, because it forces us to be left alone with our thoughts, and our thoughts are scary. It forces us to actually be introspective, to take a deep look at ourselves, to evaluate where we are in life. Most of us don't actually truly know who we are, where we are in life, because we fill our days with noise. We don't take time to be in the quiet. But when the world is crazy and we find ourselves just drowning in constant noise, constant static, it's all the more important to enjoy the quiet, to schedule the quiet, to prioritize silence. Jesus actually did this very often throughout his ministry. The writers of the Gospels, the writers who documented Jesus' life, talk about several times he went off to be alone. In fact, right after meeting Peter, doing the whole miracle with the fishing and telling Peter to cast to the other side, and he healed a man with leprosy and told the leper who had been healed to tell no one other than a priest, but of course the word spread, he went alone. He went away to be in the quiet. Luke documented this. He said, "Yet the news about him spread all the more so that the crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sickness. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." Throughout his ministry, we continually see Jesus sneaking through the crowds just to get away, to withdraw to lonely places, even to send his 12 followers away on a boat, even to climb a mountain just to be alone. Now, some of you, again, we kind of said, are always thinking about what work could be done. Do you ever think about what Jesus could have done instead of going off to be alone? Couldn't he have performed more miracles? Couldn't he have preached more? Couldn't he have taught more? So why did he go off to be alone? Because an unquiet mind can't hear from God. An unquiet mind can't hear from God. If you've ever wondered why you don't seem to hear from God, you have to ask yourself, are you being quiet enough to hear him? Are you listening? If you want to hear from God, if you want him to speak to you, you have to make the space for him to do so. Follow the lead of Jesus. Withdraw to lonely places. Turn off the noise. Ask him to speak to you. And listen. And unplugging from the noise and the distractions around you will allow you and help you to do this next step, which is prioritize connection over consumption. Prioritize connection over consumption. A day of rest should include meaningful connection with God, and as we discussed, but it should also include meaningful connection to others. This may mean your family, or your friends, or people in your church. And when you spend time with your family or with your friends, I want to challenge you to focus on connection over consumption. Engage in activities that will forge meaningful connections and create memories, rather than activities that will simply pass the time by. You ever say the weekend just flew by? Where did this weekend go? Because we're focusing on activities. We spend our time doing activities that simply pass the time, rather than activities that create memories. So maybe for your family, this means doing a game night, or going on a hike, or going out somewhere, rather than staying home and watching TV. doing a game night, maybe instead of a movie night. Now, there's nothing wrong with occasionally watching a movie with your family. That's fun. I really enjoy watching movies. But sometimes I think even the act of going out to a movie theater, which many people don't do anymore, but even the act of going out to a movie theater can be more of a communal experience than just staying home and watching TV or staying home and watching a movie. Because what happens? We end up on our phone. The dad ends up asleep. The mom always ends up doing chores. The kids come and go. It's not truly a time of connection and fellowship. So focus on connection. That means eating facing each other rather than facing a TV. Sit at a table or go out to eat and face each other and have conversations and keep the phones away. Kate and I went out to eat the other night, and we were just looking around at all the couples who were sitting there on their phone instead of talking to each other. Eat facing each other. Share a meal. The early Christians shared meals. They constantly broke bread. And if your rest includes time to yourself, don't use it as a time to binge TV or to binge movies. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with God. Read a book. Do something creative. Meditate on God's word. Do things that will uplift you spiritually and mentally and emotionally. Let's follow the lead of the early church. Acts chapter 2, it says, "And they devoted themselves, the followers of Jesus, to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the meeting together, to the breaking of bread, to sharing a meal, and the prayers." This is how we should spend our time off. Study scripture. Do a devotional. Fellowship with your family and your friends. Spend time in prayer and listening to what God has to say. And be present. Point four, be present. For many of us, the biggest temptation or the biggest struggle on a day off or on vacation is that we're constantly thinking about work. We're thinking about what could be done. I have this when I go on vacation. Unless I'm very busy on a vacation, I'll sit there and I'll think about the stuff that I can do. One of the reasons why I don't like going to the beach and just laying on the sand, my mom loves that. She loves just laying on the beach for hours reading a book. I can't because I get antsy and I start thinking about everything else that I could be doing. But Jesus actually taught about being present in the moment. He said, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." Don't be focused on what you need to do of this week, of Monday morning, because tomorrow's is going to worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Focus on today. Don't waste today thinking about tomorrow, because tomorrow you'll think about tomorrow. A great way to be present is to go outside. Spend time outdoors. There's an expression in my age group. It's often kind of used as a sarcastic insult. It's "go touch grass." It's for people who are often like complaining or negatively commenting or arguing with people online. It's "go touch grass. Go see the sunlight. Go spend some time outdoors." Spend time outside in God's creation. Appreciate the beauty around you. My dad loves hunting, and he'll tell you it's when he feels closest to God. It's out in the quiet. It's time away with God. Focus on all of your senses. What do you see? What do you hear? What do you smell? And being mindful of all your senses is actually a really common practice and a common suggestion of therapists and medical experts to release and relieve stress and anxiety. Some of us maybe have experienced panic attacks in life, and one of the suggestions to help ground yourself is just ask yourself, what do I see? What do I feel? What do I hear? What do I smell? It grounds us to the moment that we are in. It's also incredibly important to making memories, to not just letting a vacation fly by or Saturday fly by. It's just appreciating what's around you, taking those mental pictures to remember them. And the last step, and the most important step, is to invite Jesus. Invite Jesus. Saturday morning, if that's your day off, begin with a prayer. God, thank you for today, this day of rest. Come join me. Maybe some of you have never spoken to Jesus like a friend. Speak to Jesus like a friend, because that's who he tells us that he is. Invite him to spend time with you, to make his presence known, to feel him resting with you. James, the brother of Jesus. Imagine your brother being Jesus. What would it take for you to believe that your sibling is the Son of God, okay? Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Do you make an effort to draw near to God? Because even if we do all the things above, and I encourage you to follow the other four steps, but even if we do those things without this step, we will never experience true rest. Because no amount of time off, no amount of vacation can compare to the rest that Jesus offers. We don't have to obey the law of the Sabbath because Jesus is our Sabbath. True rest is found only in the presence of Jesus. If you want true rest, it's Jesus. The desert is not going to quench your thirst. A dark room is not going to provide you with light. So the same world that exhausts you is not going to provide you with rest. Culture and society wears you down. It exhausts you. It surrounds you with noise. So turning to culture and society is not going to provide you the rest that you're looking for. For true rest, we need to turn to Jesus. And Jesus actually promises, and I'm telling you, if a man raises himself from the dead, we should accept his promises. He promises that if we turn to him, if we draw near to him, as James wrote, we will find the rest we are looking for. Many of you, especially if you grew up in the church or have been attending church for a while, know this verse from Matthew chapter 11. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. If you feel tired and exhausted, I would argue it's not your mind that needs rest. It's not your body that needs rest. True rest is rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The Message is a translation of the Bible that kind of paraphrases scriptures in a modern way that modern Americans and younger people can understand. And I really like how it paraphrases this verse. Are you tired? Are you worn out? Are you burned out on religion? That's interesting. Meaning, are you so focused on trying to be good and trying to perform well? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. I love this. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. I love that idea. Living lightly. God hasn't called you to a life of anxiety, of constant pressure, of feeling the burden to constantly perform well or maybe please him. A life of no boundaries. A life of no breathing room. A life of constant work. God's desire, maybe you've never heard this before, God's desire for you is to have rest and to have peace and to find that rest and find that peace in him. Spend time with him. Kate and I try to spend our Saturdays together, just clear the schedule. And last night before I left, we actually spent some time reading the Bible together. We read a few Psalms. And as I drove home, I felt rest. I felt peace because there's something so special about sharing that experience of spending time with God with someone else, with a family member. Every single night before we leave, we pray together to feel that rest and to feel that peace. And I'll close with this. Psalm 23, many of us know this. It's a psalm of David. Psalms are written by different people. Someone asks me because I said that a psalm was written by Moses last week. He did write that psalm because psalms are written by different people, but most of them were written by David. This is one of the most famous ones, and it's one that many consider to be the most beautiful. I love it. I won't read the whole thing, but it begins this way. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. And he refreshes my soul. That's what your Heavenly Father wants for you. You just have to turn to him.